Welcome to our worship services here at the Central Church of Christ. We're going to sing a couple songs before our opening prayer, and at this time, if you need a communion set, get our attention, and we'll go around and hand those out right now if you didn't have an opportunity to partake this morning. But our first song will be When All of God's Singers Get Home.
What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted 'neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home. When all of God's singers get home, having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light, and each face will be bright, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home.
After this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when will I dwell in thee?
Would everyone bow with me, please? Would I have a prayer? Almighty God in heaven, thank you for giving us the ability and the time to get out and enjoy your nature together and worship thee in spirit and him. We look around us, Father, and see that you're real in every way. All the beautiful plants, trees, even the birds singing. Lord, we thank you for this congregation, all the members. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for Tim, our elders. We ask you to watch over them. Always give them the right things to say and to do, and to teach us and guide us in the right direction. Lord, we ask you to be with this nation and its leaders. Give them the strength and the courage to turn around and do things right, and to follow after thee. We ask you to be with our military men across the oceans, others coming home. Keep them safe and deliver them back here. Lord, we ask you to watch over us through this week. Forgive us when we do wrong. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the line, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the line, send the light, the blessed gospel line, let it shine. From shore to shore, send the light, the blessed gospel line, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Good evening. Your scripture reading tonight comes from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the ESV. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not the steadfast love and the faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. And those of you that are watching or listening, we're glad you have joined us as well. It is a beautiful evening here on the grounds of the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. There are some among us who are doubters who are saying, it's going to rain. I hope you are proved wrong by the end of our service tonight. But we're so glad to see you. Take a moment and just look around. There's a lot of people that are in cars still or in the back of pickup trucks or, you know, various things. And we're just so glad that each of you are here. Some are visiting with us, and we're really glad that you have come our way. And just good to be together. And so let's focus now on God and His Word. Hope you've got your Bible with you. We're going to start out early in Proverbs for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll be jumping over to chapter 27, so be ready for that, and we'll spend most of our time in Proverbs 27. When each of our three children were turned 16, I knew that it was time to get some lessons going in how to drive a car, and so I did, because I know it's important that young people who are going to drive learn how to drive safely. Just a couple of days ago, somebody was telling me, well, this morning actually, one of our teenagers was hit as they were leaving school by a 16-year-old. Evidently had just gotten their driver's license sometime recently, and it totaled the car that our teenager was in, and it just shows that we need instruction when we're going to be doing something as dangerous as driving a car. But in the same way, we need instruction in how to drive our lives. Isn't that what we heard in Proverbs 3, verse 1, that Adam just read to us? Proverbs 3, verse 1, and there it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." And "my son" is a phrase that you'll hear several times. That doesn't mean this is just a book of instruction for young men. It's said as a father teaching his son, or maybe a mother teaching her son. But it's practical for every one of us. And that's what we're trying to stress in these couple of lessons that we're having on Proverbs, is the practical nature of this wisdom. It's not something that's way out there and that, you know, we'll never use it in our lives, kind of like some of the math classes I had in high school. I don't know anything about math now that I learned back then. I don't use it. Well, it's not like that, because these lessons in Proverbs are practical, and they are things that we need to know as we try to drive our lives down this road. So tonight, we're going to jump over to Proverbs 27, just random. There was no necessary reason for me picking Proverbs 10 last week and Proverbs 27 this week. It's just I want us to sample and see what is there. And again, I think you're going to find it's really very valuable instruction. Now, first of all, a very brief introduction to Proverbs 27. Now, as we said last week, some find Proverbs difficult because it appears that there's no rhyme or reason. It's just all over the place. Now, we know that if we were to buy a book in the bookstore about how to do something, let's say that we want to learn how to do something we've never done before, well, the book is going to have a table of contents, it'll have an index, and you can go right to where you need to go. But Proverbs, it's just all over the place. But that, I think, is intentional. Think about the way we were instructed, and some of you are still being instructed in school. The teacher gets up in the morning, and they teach this topic, this subject, and then, all right, now we're going to move on to another subject. And by the end of the day, there may be 5 or 8. I don't know how many subjects there are. And then tomorrow, we're going to come back and go through some of those same things again and adding to what we have learned. And I think Proverbs is very much like the classroom instruction. It is random. It is interwoven, is really the better way to put it, as we said last week. And it's much like a quilt. You know, you've got various pieces of that quilt, and when they are put together in the way they should be, it turns out to be something very beautiful. Now, as we saw last week, there's a large variety of topics in each chapter. In chapter 10, you may remember that we talked about the benefits of right living. We talked about the wisdom of being teachable, open to being taught. The need for the tongue to be instructed. And interestingly, in Proverbs 27, we're not going to find that particular subject, although it is found in many other places in Proverbs. We talked about the rewards of diligence and some very foundational principles. And all of those are important. They will make our lives better. Well, the same can be said about what we're going to be looking at now. Now, another thing about Proverbs, if you'll look with me for a moment at Proverbs 24, the first part of verse 23, this shows us that not all of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. Because here it says, "These also are sayings of the wise." And the word wise there in the Hebrew is in the plural. The idea obviously is there were several people, or at least more than one, and we're giving you some of their sayings as well. We know the names of a couple of them in chapter 30 and 31, but these may not be people that we know the names of at all. But that's the idea. It's not just Proverbs of Solomon, although that's the bulk of this book, we believe. And then when you come to chapter 25 and verse 1, you see that we're getting into the section, and that's where Proverbs 27 falls in. That's the section we're in. These also, it says, are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Interestingly, Hezekiah was king of Judah a little over 200 years after the time of Solomon. And so for that period of time, where were these Proverbs? Well, we don't know. Somebody had access to them. But the decision was made, we need to collect those and gather them into this book and produce a very good collection of wisdom. And of course, we believe that it was all done by the supervision of the Holy Spirit. And that's why they did it. But I want you to see that again, we're into this section of Solomon's Proverbs. And not that it makes it better necessarily, but it's just something that maybe will get our attention a little more. And then finally, before we delve into chapter 27, actually it's our segue, look at chapter 27 now, verse 11. Proverbs 27, verse 11. And here we've got this statement. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. Now that's a very general statement. He doesn't say what it is that he wants his son to be wise about, but that's what chapter 27 is all about, is lots of things that we need to be wise in. So that could be kind of our theme statement, or at least the reminder, we need this. Let's be wise. Let's learn and be teachable. So in Proverbs 27, I've again arranged six different categories that I found of wisdom. And again, I think you'll agree, all of these are very practical, and we can use these in our everyday lives and should use wisdom in our everyday lives. For example, number one, there is the wisdom of knowing ourselves. The wisdom of knowing ourselves. Look at verse 1 with me, Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And there's a fact that a lot of people have not yet grasped, and that is that we're not going to live forever. We are finite beings. Tomorrow is not a guarantee. And we know that, of course, now. Who knew what was going to come in 2020? And yet it came. And so he's saying there, in effect, lean on the Lord. Trust him to lead you day by day, and don't act like that rich fool that we talked about this morning in Luke chapter 12 that said, I'm going to sit back and enjoy my life and eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't know his life was going to come to an end that night. And so he says, know that you are not going to live forever. And then in verse 2, he goes on to say, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Meaning, let's not be arrogant. Somebody said that we're never as good as we think we are, and never as bad, maybe, as we think we are. We don't understand completely, but let's not do our own trumpeting. Other people want to praise us, okay, that's good, but you know, that's not the point anyway. Let's be reserved, let's be humble, and let's let God do the praising, if that is in fact what happens at the end of our lives. And then in verse 20, jump down to verse 20, and again, you'll see this is interwoven in this same line. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied. Those are both terms about death and the grave. They're never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. I can't get no satisfaction, the Rolling Stones sang, and that's the way we are. Although sometimes we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves sometimes by saying, you know, if I just get this, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to want anything else until you get it. And then you want something else. We need to learn about ourselves that our desires can be insatiable. You can't satisfy some desires. So learn to be content. Learn to live with what the Lord has given you. So the wisdom of knowing ourselves, that's a category that I see in this chapter. Let me go to another one now. The wisdom of controlling our emotions. Is that a problem with anybody? The wisdom of controlling our emotions. Go back with me to verse 3 Proverbs 27 and verse 3. A stone is heavy, assuming it's a large stone, yes. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty. But a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Now notice the imagery there. We're encouraged to think of how heavy a big stone might be or a bag of sand. It can weigh a lot. And yet he's saying that a fool can really provoke us. You've got to bear with it sometimes and not let them push your buttons. How often, though, do we allow that to happen? Somebody says something, does something, and it just makes us fly off the handle, and then we regret what we said or what we did. And that's what he's talking about. A fool's provocation is heavier than both. Learn how to bear with that. Just don't listen to it or move on. Let them say what they will. Don't let it get to you. And then again, notice in verse 4, he says this, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Now, it's not clear whether they're talking about us or the one that we're dealing with. It can be both. But the idea is these emotions can really be overpowering. And unless you have really disciplined yourself and warned yourself through the wisdom of God that this can get out of hand if I don't let God teach me how to control it, then I can let it get me into big trouble. And that again is what he's trying to help us see, is that God can help us deal with these emotions. And then again, look at down at verse 19. This is a little more general in nature. But in verse 19, again, we have this analogy, this image. He says in verse 19, as in water, face reflects face. Meaning if you are walking by a still pond, you know, it's no ripples, you can actually see yourself in it. And that's what he's saying there. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. And I take that to mean that that's where we begin, is in our hearts. I mean, we may think we've got everything under control, but do you have your heart under God's control? That's the place to begin. Let God fill your heart with wisdom, with truth, with the right way to live, and then you'll be able to deal with whatever emotions may come along. So again, the wisdom of controlling our emotions. A third category that I find in Proverbs 27 is the wisdom of honest counsel. The wisdom of honest counsel. Look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. And we probably heard these a few times. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That simply says that we don't like to hear criticism. Most of us don't. We'd rather them not say anything. And we might get angry when somebody gives us counsel that is constructive. And yet he's saying that's for your benefit. And in verse 5, it's better to openly rebuke your friend than to act like you love them and not say what should be said. And that again is wisdom that a lot of people don't follow. But even when a friend wounds us, that is for our benefit, usually. There are exceptions, of course, but we ought to learn to accept it and weigh that advice. Is it really true? Do I really need to make those adjustments in my life? That's my friend. Maybe they're telling me what I need to hear, even though I don't want to hear it. It wounds me, but it's good for me. And you could even look at verse 7. I think it maybe falls in line with this as well. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. And that kind of looks puzzling. But I see it in the context of somebody telling me something I don't want to hear. I didn't ask for your counsel. Why are you telling me this? Don't say that. But if I know I've got a problem and I ask for your counsel, I ask for your advice, then I'm likely to listen. I'll accept it for what it's worth. So maybe it's saying to us, you know, be careful in giving your advice. Was it asked for? And if not, then they may not appreciate it, even though it may be true. Also look with me at verse 19, Proverbs 27 and verse 19. I'm sorry, that's what we've already looked at. Verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When I was growing up, I had a couple of jobs that would require carrying a file in my back pocket. And I'm not talking about a file folder. I'm talking about a metal file. One was when I was cutting weeds. We didn't have weed eaters back then. We had reap hooks. And you had to sharpen that if you wanted it to cut the weeds. Or if you're hoeing in the garden, you need to sharpen it occasionally. And yet, when you sharpen iron with iron or steel with steel, there's going to be some sparks to fly. But again, that's for our betterment. It will bless us if we accept it in the way it's been given. So, can we accept good counsel? A lot of people can't. The book of Proverbs says, be willing to listen, because what they are telling you may be for your good. A fourth category of wisdom in Proverbs 27, the wisdom of showing discretion. The wisdom of showing discretion. Look at verse 12, Proverbs 27 and verse 12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. One of the illustrations that came to my mind is if we're out driving and it's been raining pretty heavy and there's water standing in the roadway. What have we been told over and over again by the weather people? If there's water in the road, turn around, don't drive through it. Because many times it's deeper than you think and cars are washed away and it happens. People die as a result of not heeding that advice. They see the danger, but they just plow right through it. Why? Solomon says, let's be prudent about it, and let's hide ourselves. Let's not get into that if we know it is a potential danger. Then again, in verse 13, he goes on and says, take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. This one's a little more difficult for us. It's a custom that we're not as familiar with. But there's a lot of advice in Proverbs about not taking security for another. It's like co-signing for another person. Have you ever been asked to co-sign on a loan for somebody? And the advice is, be very careful. Because if that's not a trustworthy person, then guess who's responsible for paying back that loan? The co-signer. And here is a person who has a sign for a stranger or an adulteress. And the word adulteress literally is a foreign woman. It may be an adulteress. It may simply be somebody they don't really know. But she has charmed them into doing what they ask. So he's saying if they're that crazy, then hold them accountable. They have to learn not to do it. Discretion would have told them, this is a dangerous thing. I cannot co-sign for somebody I don't know, and therefore I'm going to turn them away. Discretion, using good judgment. And then again, in verse 14, look at verse 14. He says there, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. This is discretion. Even when you want to wish somebody a happy day, please don't call them at 5 in the morning. Does that not make sense to all of us? That's really what he's saying there. Because you'll be considered cursing when what you meant to do was bless. Why? Because you didn't use good judgment in when to do it. So again, wisdom will help us understand when it's a good time to do something, when it's not a good time to do something. Learn wisdom. Category number 5 in Proverbs 27, the wisdom of choosing one's mate wisely. Look at verse 15. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. Now, I don't know if you know what that image means, you know, a continual dripping. Maybe you're trying to sleep and the bathroom faucet is leaking slowly, drip, drip, and it seems to get louder as the night goes on, and it's just a great annoyance. And here he's saying a quarrelsome woman will get on your nerves in the same way. Now, why is he saying that? I think, again, we have to remember the advice is framed in my son. I think it's advice on how to choose a mate. Now, when you have a mate like that, you got to learn how to deal with it somehow. But a person may say, well, you know, I know they're that way, but I'll change them. After we get married, I'll change them. And yet, look at what happens in verse 16. He goes on to say this, to restrain her, that is the quarrelsome wife, to restrain her is to restrain the wind. How successful are you at that? Restraining the wind? Or to grasp oil in one's right hand? Are you going to do that? I mean, you know, we talk about grabbing Jell-O or nailing Jell-O to the wall, something like that. Good luck. How's that going to work? You can't do it. And he's saying, therefore, if you think you're going to change someone, think again, because maybe you can't. So I see that as advice about wisely choosing one's mate. But again, if you're already married to a person like that, there's other things in Proverbs that you'll need to search out. Now, finally, look at the sixth category. And we talked about this somewhat last week, but here it is again in Proverbs 27, the wisdom of being diligent in our labors. The wisdom of being diligent in our labors. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. I have known some people, some that were here in the congregation, that grew some beautiful fruit. And I've got an Asian pear tree out of my backyard, and it's not very nice. You know, it doesn't. I occasionally get a good one. What's the difference? I've not been putting in the labor like this says. Those people knew how to do it. They took the time to do it right, and therefore they enjoyed the fruits of their labor. And so the idea is if you want to eat from that fig tree, you need to take time to tend it. And also he says, again in verse 18, he who guards his master will be honored, the one that you work for. Are you honoring them? Are you giving them your best labor? Well, you'll be honored in time for that as a general rule. And so again, just, you know, pay attention to the one you're working for. Now, go down to verses 23 through 27, and the final few verses here, again, address this idea of diligence. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? No. When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing. And the goats, the price of a field, there will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls, if you paid attention to the welfare of your herds, if you know well the condition of your flocks. And so again, the idea is pay attention to those things that will provide your livelihood. Don't go about it half-heartedly. Go into it with all diligence. Now again, how practical are these areas that we've talked about this evening? Knowing ourselves, I mean really knowing the nature of the person that I am as a human being, knowing the power of our emotions, knowing the need for honest counsel, knowing the need to show discretion of choosing our life mate carefully and of being diligent in our labors, all of those are practical. They will make our lives better. And thus we do ourselves a favor when we take time to study the Proverbs. There's something that we refer to as common sense. People have it if they will choose to use it. Not all people use it very well. It seems that we're almost born with it. But John Goldingay, in commenting on Proverbs 27, says this, in preserving the material in Proverbs 25 through 29, the teachers of Hezekiah's day encourage people to take a positive view of human wisdom, but they warn people not to leave God out of the account. Don't leave God out of the account. Now, why? I mean, I'm intelligent. I know how to get by. I've done okay this far. But there's a lot of things you don't know unless God teaches you. And God has preserved a lot of that wisdom in the book of Proverbs. We need this wisdom in this book. It's one that sometimes we kind of glance over, we rush through. And again, I would urge you to take time and maybe read a chapter a day, or maybe not even that fast. Let it mull over in your mind, because you'll see as you spend more time in it, this is helpful. This really is helpful wisdom. The greatest wisdom is knowing that we need a Savior. And thanks to God, we have one, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And now that forgiveness made possible by His blood is available for us if we will just accept it. How do you accept the blood of Christ? You hear the gospel and then you make a decision. Do I believe that? Do I believe that Jesus is more than just a man, that He is the Son of God? Am I willing to turn away from anything He tells me is a sin, repenting of it? Will I confess Him before others? Will I obey His command to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins? And if tonight you're in that situation and you're ready to obey the gospel, let's do it. The water's ready. We've got clothes you can put on and have dry clothes to go home in. Everything is ready. Why not tonight? And if you are watching or listening, send us a message by email and let us know. We'll wait for you. We'll try to work things out for you if you're not in our area. But let's help you do what's right. And if, as children of God, we've wandered away, we've not been living wisely, it's time to repent of our sins and pray for forgiveness. Can we help you in any way? Make your decision as we stand and sing. Let's stand.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Please be seated. We'll shift our focus to the Lord's Supper as we sing, "Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?" If anyone needs a communion set, just get Tim's attention and he'll give you one here. Let us sing.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why on He choose a lowly birth? Because He loved me so. He loved soul. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. Precious life for me, because he loved me so.
Let's pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, thanking you so much for the honor that you give us of allowing us to gather around your table, Lord, to remember Christ, for the sacrifice he made, being separated from you, Father, coming this earth, the miracle of living a perfect life, and for finally dying for us and taking on our sins, an ultimate sacrifice for us that we could have eternal life with you. We thank you for this bread, Lord, that represents that sacrifice, that represents his flesh. Pray that we partake of it in remembrance of him and in a worthy manner. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. Thank you for Christ, for the sacrifice that was made, for the blood that was shed that this cup represents. Lord, we thank you so much for that blood. Lord, the blood that covers our sins, that allows us to have eternal life with you. We pray that each will focus on you, focus on that sacrifice, and examine themselves as they partake. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Separate from the Lord's Supper, let's pray for the offering. Father, once again we come before you, thanking you so much for the all the means you bless us with, for the great country we live in, Lord, where we can have plenty of income, where we are blessed, where we are blessed abundantly. We pray that everything we have we use to your glory, Lord, and we understand that it's all yours, but we thank you for the opportunity you allow us to have it and for the opportunity that you allow us to give back. Pray that each do it with a cheerful heart and that it's used in a manner that will expand your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's bow as we go to God in prayer. Our Father and God, we're thankful so much for the opportunity that we've had to be outside and to study your word. Grateful, Father, for Tim and his abilities to preach and teach. Grateful, Father, for Tim Haywood and his work with our college students, and Greg and his work with our youth. Thank you, Father, for those that are involved with our various classes and teaching our classes. Grateful again for the technology that allows us to have these various classes, Zoom and other classes online. Grateful for those that can be here as well as online. Thank you, Father, for many blessings that we enjoy as Christians, certainly prayer, certainly being in Christ, for the assurance of what lies ahead if we are faithful to Thee to the end of our lives. Father, we realize there are many in our number that are dealing with sickness. Certainly ask that You be with each one at this time, others that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. Father, continue to bless us as we certainly strive to continue teaching and encouraging others where we can. Continue to be with us now at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.